From the heartland of America and the gateway to the West, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM later on tonight. Those open lines, also a tribute to the late Michael Rupert, who died this week. He was an investigator for the people. Another Coast to Coast guest has passed on. I'm beginning to have my own thoughts and theories about this. I'll tell you about it later. The Internal Revenue Service and other U.S. agencies have awarded about $415,000 in contracts to a license plate tracking company before Homeland Security leaders said, hey, we're going to drop a plan for similar work amid privacy complaints. The company is called Vigilant, and it has received such work since 2009, collecting plate information and access to license plate data. Strange, strange, strange. In some areas of the world, payment systems that require palm scanning or facial scanning are already being tested. Could this be the sign of the beast? We have entered an era where biometric security is being hailed as the solution to the antiquated security methods of the past. Does that mean without it, you can no longer buy or sell without submitting to the biometric identification? An arrest warrant has been issued for the captain of the ferry that sank off the coast of South Korea, an accident that killed 28 people, left nearly 270 missing. Two other crew members also face arrest there. Ryan Morrow, of course, is the founder of the worldthreats.com and also works for the clarionproject.org. We're going to check in with Ryan about some world events that are going on. First of all, Ryan, your thoughts on this situation in Ukraine. What's happening there?
Basically, Russia is going to take more land. There are more and more pro-Russian militants that are seizing government buildings, are making their voices heard, and there's increasing speculation that Russia is going to take the city of Odessa. And the reason they're doing that is because they ship weapons through there and they want a land bridge to go over to Moldova, which is their next target.
All right, what are you working on these days, Ryan? I know you've got your finger on the pulse of world events.
Well, the main focus at the Clarion Project is especially about the radical Islamic infiltration of the U.S. government and the continent. And the big focus for me right now has a lot to do with this group called Jamaat al-Fukra that has leadership in Pakistan, but they have 22 of what they call villages here in the United States. And we discovered recently one of their enclaves in Texas. And this is a radical Islamic group whose leader says that Jews are examples of human Satans, and we have videotape of them engaging in paramilitary training.
Is this group being watched by us?
They are. We have declassified FBI documents showing that they're being watched, but the villages that they live in are dozens of acres large in some cases. There's no way you can keep track of everything going on in there. And so the policy recommendation that we're putting forth is that if this group was labeled a foreign terrorist organization, criteria which they definitely meet, then they would not be able to operate like this in the United States.
Okay, Ryan, thank you so much. A 7.5 magnitude earthquake striking off the southern coast of Mexico Friday morning. The quake occurred in the Pacific near the major resort town of Acapulco during the Holy Week, when Mexicans traditionally flock to the beaches and resorts to have some fun at full capacity. Stan Deo, research physicist, of course, monitors earthquakes all around this planet. It's getting closer to the Los Angeles area, Stan, isn't it?
It is, absolutely. And I'm a bit concerned with the pattern of earthquakes, the major ones that I've seen. Today we've had, in the last 24 hours, the 7.2 in Acapulco there, and also a 7.0 that's just been downgraded to 6.9 over New Guinea on the other side of the Pacific. Now, I'm watching a pattern over the last few weeks of major earthquakes from about 7 to 8 point some odd there in South America, moving up the coast, up through Nicaragua, up into Mexico, and now heading up toward the United States through the Baja. There are so many strange reports. Major earthquake, the first time in probably about 35 years in northwest Alaska. These are indicators to me that the chain of large earthquakes is moving toward a dangerous area for us. If it continues, like I think it will, we're going to see in one of three or two of the three locations, I'm going to tell you, Mendocino Cape, Cape Mendocino, somewhere in that area, there will be a big earthquake if it continues, or down toward the tip of the Baja. It's at a place called between a place called Mazatlan and Cabo San Lucas, in between there and the ocean, and one just south of the one that occurred near the Acapulco Resort, in the southern tip of Mexico and possibly some more in Nicaragua. All these things tell me, with the data we've got, and I had your webmaster, I sent him pictures of this, to show you what has happened in the last 30 days and what's happened in the last 7 days. Earthquakes are just increasing. I wish we had the access to the data we had at the Navy so that I could tell you more about it, but accurately. But at the moment, we've just got to be cautious and be prepared for dealing with big earthquakes. On our website there, Holly's got a link up on our main website there, which shows you a map of the increase in earthquakes from 2000 till now. And they're serious, harmful, costly, in death and whatever, severe earthquakes. It's up 500% in the last 12 years. So I am concerned. That's the bottom line.
All right, we're going to watch that, Stan. Stan's website, of course, standale.com. And, of course, we watch the skies all the time. Let's check in with Peter Davenport from the National UFO Reporting Center. Hey, Peter, what's going on this week?
Well, good evening, George, and happy Easter to you and to any of our listeners may celebrate that that holiday this weekend. Boy, lots going on, and when I do one of these short programs, I feel like a kid in a candy store with a pocket full of change because I just don't know where to begin. As I speak, I believe our webmaster is posting some of the latest reports that have come in over the last 7 days since my last appearance on Coast, but I'd like to start with a report from Peavely, Missouri.
Not too far.
You know where that is. You've probably been there, as have I, in decades past. But a week ago tonight, April 11th, a group of people saw an object that had blue and red flashing lights on it streaking across the sky. They had no idea what it was. A few people got fair to middling videotape of it. We'll have that posted probably over the weekend. But the interesting thing is the number of independent witnesses who reported the event to us. If you were in St. Louis a week ago, you may even have seen the reports on one of the news stations there. Really a good report, but for the benefit of our listeners, I'm fully cognizant that a lot of people around the world were trying to hoax UFO investigators this month. I'm going to look at that one carefully and see if we can get any more information. Wednesday of this week, two nights ago, April 16th, a couple very, very interesting reports. The first one from Overland Park, Kansas, near Kansas City. Gentleman was driving to the east, and he saw off to his left in the northern sky a blue light moving at a moderate pace, he said. Suddenly, the thing accelerated dramatically. It arced up into the night sky, and when he last saw it, it was going close to near vertical, departing his territory at very high speed. Interestingly, a short time later, Seal Beach, California, which is, I presume that's down near San Diego, is it? Or in your area, Los Angeles. Gentleman was standing outside and was just amazed to watch an F-18, either Navy or Marine Corps F-18, pursuing a solid red light at very high speed. He says his impression was that it was going perpendicular to the prevailing air traffic in that area. Very, very interesting report. And to conclude with just a few reports from tonight, I've had a report from San Antonio, Texas. A group of young people were standing outside having a little party down there. They saw what they estimate to have been at least a dozen, maybe more, red lights in a cluster. Something very similar reported from Sumner, Washington. This was 50 minutes ago. Gentleman was going to sleep. He looked out his window and saw a cluster of 20 or 25 red objects. He thinks they were hovering over Interstate 5, so there may be other witnesses there. And finally, last report, Mount Pleasant, Michigan. A group of four people were, I believe they were driving in a car, and the headlights went out or dimmed significantly just as an object went right overhead. Something very similar reported from Thompson, Manitoba, Canada tonight. The man and his wife saw a dark object, no lights on it, they said, except for what looked like afterburners, but it was just silent as a tomb. Didn't hear a thing. So a lot's going on, and hope you have a good weekend and have some time off this weekend, George.
Yeah, I'll be working, Peter, doing the Beyond Belief TV shows in Denver.
So will I. Do we ever get time off?
Never. All right, Peter, enjoy.
Have a good night. Thank you, George.
All right, thanks so much. Peter Davenport from the National UFO Reporting Center. Peter, Seal Beach is closer to the L.A. side than the San Diego side. Up next, we're going to talk with one of the world's most renowned psychics for a couple hours, Anthony Carr, about some events that he sees. He's next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. Anthony Carr is with us. He was with us several years ago. He's the world's most documented psychic. He's a modern-day Nostradamus. He has predicted 9/11, the Operation Desert Storm, the murder of Pope John Paul I, the killer tsunami, the discovery of the Titanic, and the election of a German pope. And Carr is the expert on the legendary escape artist Harry Houdini, one of my favorites. His father taught Houdini, by the way, how to dive in deep water, which is a skill that many of you know. If you know the life of Houdini, he used over and over again for his underwater escapes. Welcome back to Coast, Anthony Carr. Anthony, welcome back, sir.
Well, thank you, Mr. Norrie. It's a pleasure to be back with you.
Well, I got to tell you, Harry Houdini, the story of Houdini, every time I have read stories of him, he just fascinated me more and more. I did not know your father was that close with him and taught him some of those incredible skills.
Well, yes. Of course, Harry's real name wasn't Harry. What was it now? You know what? I'm having a senior's moment. What did his mother always call him? Yitzhak or Isaac or one of those biblical names. But my father was, he was working in New York, I think on Coney Island at the Steel Pier. And Houdini was doing a show there. He was, I guess my dad was 18 or 19 at the time, traveling with Conklin Shows, and they had teamed up with American Shows at the time. And he taught Harry how to do some of the deep, the high dives. And not too many people are familiar with that. Harry Houdini was a very, very successful high diver, high platform diver. He could dive, hold his own with my dad, certainly from heights of 100 feet or more.
It was amazing. And, Eric Weiss was his name.
Eric Weiss, that was it, Eric Weiss. And it's interesting that when he was investigating so-called spiritualist mediums back in the day, when he was trying to contact his late mother, they would always... the floating ghosts and Harry, speak to me. Well, he was always hip to the fact that his mother never ever called him Harry, but called him Eric all the time. That's one of the reasons why he knew they were fraudulent. But he gave my father his lucky, what he called his lucky ring. It's a semi-precious ruby, which I have, and I think I sent you a couple of years ago a picture of it.
Yeah, you did.
And he said it carried him through many, many dangers. Oddly enough, it must have been very lucky, because shortly after he gave it to my father, he died, of course,
1926. Yep, and, in Detroit, my hometown.
That's right. And he had been previously, to that date, he had been in Montreal, and... took up the challenge, more or less, unexpectedly, of the two McGill University students, one being a boxer, and was anxious to try out his punch Apparently he could withstand any kind of a punch to the stomach or solar plexus. Well, the kid caught him off guard. He hadn't had time to tense up, as it were, and he gave him a shot, and of course it burst his appendix, and by the time he got to Detroit, it was all over on Halloween, 31st, October 31st, 26?
26. He was only 52 years old. That was it.
Yep, that was it. And then I came into possession. I think I sent you that as well. The last Houdini seance, the legitimate one.
I remember that.
In Knickerbocker Hotel in L.A. And, of course, there was a who's who of everybody in the world at the time. It was a hookup radio show all around the world. And at the end of that session, she said, I reverently blow out the candle. Good night.
That's Carrie. Right. Houdini, come back to us,
come
Houdini.
Back to me. Come in. Come in. Well, of course, the Houdini seances were so successful, they just kept them going right up until recently. And I attended, must be 10 years ago, at the Houdini Museum in Niagara Falls, Canada. And it was hosted by, I think, the widow of Blackstone, the great magician.
Oh, geez, yeah.
And,
classics.
Several of the others. Randy, you know, the Randy Dandies, we call them.
The Amazing Randy.
That's right. Amazing Randy. So amazing that when you tried to escape from an old bank, TD Bank vault here in Toronto, that you couldn't get out because the lock is rusted, and the fire department had to come in and rescue him. He was already unconscious, and by then,
by then,
the first, when they performed CPR, the first words of...
Can't say that. Can't say that on the air. Okay.
But it is a quote, so it's from a newspaper story.
Still can't go there. Can't go there, whether it's a quote.
All right. So, or as they say in the newspapers, they put F and then --. Or perhaps I should have said for unlawful carnal knowledge.
Tell me about your abilities, Anthony. How did this start for you?
Well, referring back to my father, he was a circus high diver, and my mother was also as well. And I was very afraid to climb up that high tower. So what I was fascinated by was the little old gypsy lady who had candy stick tent, you know, the pepper candy. And she was always reading tea leaves and reading crystal balls and so on. And she looked like your typical fortune teller, except when she spoke, she had a brogue that sounded like it should have been a shoe for walking in. She came from Scotland. And she was always... Hello?
Yeah.
Oh, so she was always teaching me things, how to read palms, and she would look at my hands and tell me that I possessed the Croix Mystique, which was a cross right in the middle of the palm, both palms, which signified that I would someday make a name for myself in these very same arcane sciences. So anyway, she said one day I would walk with kings and movie stars and so on. So I was only 6 or 7 or 8 years old. And that always stuck with me. And she kept putting her hand on the table and says, you're going to be working with your hands. I see... hands, your hands are on paper here. And, you know, she kept talking like that. And it was only years and years later that I put it together when I began compiling my palmistry book, Hands of Destiny. And it was the palm prints of all the famous, infamous personalities that I would collect around the world over the last half century. So through that, and then I became a musician, I became a bodybuilder, I was Mr. Canada, but always I kept this hobby of reading palms, and that seemed to be the initial beginning of my career. And then there was a newspaper editor, a columnist by the name of Paul Rinstead at the Toronto Star, and I guess during the days whilst I was a musician traveling the world, and I was up in Goose Bay, Labrador, and I came back and I wandered into this. He was also a jazz drummer, and I wandered into this bar in Toronto, and it was called the Sapphire Tavern.
Hold on right there, Anthony. We're going to take this break, and we'll come right back on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. We are with Anthony Carr, the world's most documented psychic. And that means, of course, that he says things, they get recorded, and guess what? They happen. Anyway, Anthony, we're talking about how you got this ability, and I'll let you pick up. Go ahead.
Well, I'm just about to say, you know, being a true Sagittarian, I usually only open my mouth to change feet, as is obviously. Before we continue this, so I was just looking here at one of my predictions from my Stargazer book of 2012. This is in 2004, so it was a little over two years ago. So,
yep.
An iron-fisted Russian dictator unites the disparate, not desperate, but that too, the disparate, that is separate Balkan states, to raise once again the powerful hammer and sickle, the USSR. Russian President Vladimir Putin begins the job of reuniting the USSR, but is pushed aside by even one who makes this current leader look like little Lord Fauntleroy.
Wow.
He is that ferocious. Then he will team with Red China, possibly Korea, the Mideast. The world, watch out. Russian President Vladimir has a change of heart, suddenly turning against the U.S., America feels the wrath of the new Soviet Union, USSR, and remember their strategy was always two steps forward, one step back.
That's amazing. And did you say he's going to get pushed out eventually on his himself?
Even he will be pushed aside by someone worse than he is.
Okay,
Great Mother Russia will rise from its ashes like the mythical phoenix, continuing its age-old quest of world domination by first waging war against her neighbors, as we can already see what's happening.
Were you born with this gift, or did you develop it later?
I thought that I developed it later. I've had many old, teacup readers, English, Irish, gypsies tell me that I've had this ability since I was a child, but didn't really pay any attention to it, much like an animal works through his instincts. I was born with what they call spatially dyslectic, and astrologically I have a lot of planets that negate my ability to function normally in a school setting. I have Saturn in opposition to my Mercury at birth, and Neptune in opposition to my ascendant and my moon. So when it comes to trying to figure things out consecutively or logically, I start to break out in a cold sweat. One of the greatest astrologers, for my money, has all kind of books on the subject, lived in the cave for 2 years studying astrology, Robin Armstrong, pointed all this out to me, and it makes perfectly good sense. He says, you live through your instincts because you can't, cerebral, cerebrate things sequentially, and that seems to be true. And once he opened that door for me, I find that when, things go blotto or blank for me, I just rely on my instincts, and either images form in my mind's eye from the cosmos or through a clairsentient, that feeling in the gut, as you call it, that the chakra center in your solar plexus. So that's basically what I've learned to accept is not being able to fit in the normal setting of the 9-to-5. I suppose I'm what they call the left brain hemisphere person. That and I can continue and conduct three or four different topics at the same time without losing the thread of each of the topics
that
I'm talking about.
I wonder if your music background, Anthony, helped you. You used to play with Benny King, right?
I did. I worked with, back in 67, I think it was, I played with the group called The Marquees. They had a song called Last Night. It was an instrumental. It was da-da, da-da, da. Anyway, it's an instrumental. Benny King, of course, Stand By Me. And I've read for Benny King many, many times. In fact, he sent me a nice letter pertaining to his revival with the movie Stand By Me when they used his. So I told him 6 months prior to that, when he was in a bit of a slump playing a club here in Toronto, that something through a record or an old record would put you on the map. I said, bigger and stronger and better than even you could imagine. I said, even with the discounting the Drifters, because he always had to go back to the Drifters, you know, to play with the group. I said, this would sever the umbilical cord for good. And, of course, the movie and so on, and that gave him, it resurrected his entire career. I worked with Ronnie Hawkins. I worked with Otis Redding twice when he was here in Toronto. I worked with, Rompin' Ronnie Hawkins, who was Levon Helm and all these, the band. Do you remember the band?
Oh, sure do.
So
sure
and do.
You go to the classics. You've had some of the biggest names in rock and roll and classical music.
Well, I'm currently I have a band that I'm working with here now called, in fact, they have a website. It's called therave.ca. Just four old guys, and we're playing all around the city and playing all that 1950s, 60s stuff. As a matter of fact, my bass player, apparently you have a commercial or something you refer to now and then called Bug Sport. Created by Ted Bastian.
I think that's one of the local commercials that runs on one of our affiliates.
Oh, well, my bass player, Darcy Kane, is the host for that.
Okay, cool.
For that particular thing. But anyway, I'm enjoying this very much playing in the band again. It's kind of an emotional outlet for me, and we do all of the as they say. You know, I'm a saxophone player, by the way. And we do all of the 50s, 60s, the twist, and some R&B, and all that kind of thing. So.
I want to talk to you a little bit later about music in general and get your take on where do you think it's headed. But back to some of your predictions.
Well, Michael, I guess you've had Michael Luckman on your show a couple of
years
ago, and he wrote a great book there, Alien Rock, with the rock stars who have UFO experiences. So it's a very, very, very good book.
Super guy. So are we on the brink of a third world war, Anthony?
Well, actually, we are. We are on the brink, relatively speaking. You look at the world situation, you got 7 or 8 billion people in the world. You know, we're too many people, not enough arable land, waters are all polluted. Already, it's the same as and the worst thing we can do is put sanctions against countries like America did, and then Britain and others against Japan back in World War II. So when people get desperate, and having grown up in poverty myself, is the people who are starving and desperate, they don't lie down and die. They stand up and they take what is yours. And this is exactly what's going on with Russia. And you've got the Arab country, you've got China, they have an army of a billion standing people there. Every so often, like lemmings jumping off the edge of the cliff, which I've never seen that, by the way, even on Discovery. Is there such a thing as that? Lemmings jumping off the cliff? I don't even know what one looks like. If I were one of those lab, the one running in the opposite direction, if you ever seen that post, and excuse me. But anyway, human beings seem to do that. Every 20 years or so, we have a world war and winnow the herds and then start all over again, except with the nuclear threat now, you can't have that, and we haven't had that for quite a while. But at some point, someone's going to, here's what I wrote.
Give us the scenario, Anthony. Spell it out for us.
Spell it out. Of course, I told you I'm dyslexic. We're spelling terrible. But the World War, I've got something here. I just happened to turn. Flee to the mountaintops, the darkest caves, the balls of the earth. World War III is upon us. The Mideast will ignite like a Roman candle. This current, quote-unquote, skirmish is aught but a prelude to global conflagration. A never-ending chain reaction, this oscillating conflict between Muslim and Jew, will draw in every nation on earth. Increasing exponentially, it is a pebble tossed onto the millpond of humanity, its stillness forever shattered, its ever-widening circle engulfing all. Nor shall the West escape. As it says in Scripture, be not smug, O ye on foreign shores, for I shall rain down fire and brimstone upon thy heads. O horror of horrors, only divine intervention, the Lord of hosts, can halt the destruction. whether God be spirit or star traveler, from distant galaxies beyond space and time, only from him can man hope to escape the carnage, lest all flesh perish.
Jeez. Well, you write a little like Nostradamus. Now, when this comes to you, does it come to you in a dream, in an image? How does that come to you?
Well, I'm going to tell you something. I had an epiphany 40 years ago about my own demise, which at the time, being a young man, frightened me so much that I took the prediction, I wrote it down, and it was automatic writing, and I put it in a drawer, and I didn't look at it or even take it out for 40 years, and I took it out this year now, as I'm a septuagenarian, and this is what I wrote, and this is what I finally put in the book this year.
And it's about you.
It's about me and about the rest of the world, because I'm a Sagittarian, but I have Aries rising, 0 degrees Aries, which is the beginning and end of, or the beginning of all things, spring. So on 0 degrees Aries rising, as it goes for me in the world, it seems to go for the rest of mankind as well. I'm like a barometer, if you think of it that way, and we're not supposed to have dead air time here,
You don't want dead air, that's for sure.
Here I am, supposedly the world's most documented. I can't even find my own story here.
Well, yeah, you're going to be sleeping.
Interesting about Nelson Mandela, I met him here in Toronto at my old alma mater school, my public school. He was here and dedicated to the school, and it was called Park Public School, and it is now Mandela Park Public School right here in the city. So I had the opportunity of meeting him and quickly perusing his poem, which is in my book here. So Nelson Mandela will go down history as the greatest peacemaker and peacekeeper this whole world has seen since the likes of Jesus and Gandhi. When Nelson Mandela came to Toronto to preside over the dedication of my old alma mater, Park School, renamed Nelson Mandela Park Public School in his honor, I had the opportunity to briefly say hello, shake his hand, and quickly read his palm. I immediately thought to myself, this is the hand of a great man. But we digress here now. I'm just looking for this. We are living in the beginning days of the coming tribulation. A mighty sign in the heavens shall apprise us of the great one's return. That's if you believe that God was a star traveler, as I do.
Could that be like a blood moon or something like that?
No. I'm talking about, if you want to call it, aliens from another galaxy.
All right.
I think we were created by, you've heard this many times. I've been writing about this for 50 years. I've gone through the Bible, and it just, no doubt in my mind that we were created by extraterrestrials who took the DNA of the primates at the time here and just evolved us quickly so that we could do their slave labor. So as a mighty sign in the heavens shall apprise us of the great one's return, star traveler, Lord of lords, King of kings. From the sky, God, you will hear and know everything. I predict eternal God shall walk upon this earth, and on that day all shall be stricken with fear and trembling, everyone, even unto the ends of the earth. Terrible upheavals, the high mountains shall be shaken and made low, all save some. That is, upon the earth shall perish, and there shall be a judgment on every man and woman. The kind and the righteous shall he save and protect, but not the hypocrites. And the hypocrites are the worst. Soon will come another shock to modify man's violent behavior, to put back in him the fear of the one true God.
Now, when you write these, because you do sound a lot like Nostradamus, how come you kind of put them in these kinds of quatrains or syllables or, parables?
Well, again, I don't have a formal education and grade 10, actually, and I learned to write by rubbing shoulders with the eggheads, those who are smarter than I. And I guess from listening to your show over the years and then studying with other people, and, the ministry and psychism and psychics make strange bedfellows, as they say. So you listen to these stentorious speakers and the way they write and talk, and I guess it kind of rubbed off on me.
Well, you do a remarkable job. And when they say documented, and I think I'm right on, you have said things that get recorded, whether they're on programs or in books,
well,
and
true.
All of a sudden they pop up.
The one I told you was it ran in the Toronto Sun here and in the Toronto Star and a bunch of other publications. So they're all, and my missus, by the way, you know, many of these, I have to write a book of several hundred every year, which they use in Hollywood, New York,
sure.
and the tabloids.
Well, what's your hit
90% of it, 90% of it is for entertainment. You can't write something about, say, Tom Cruise every week and expect it to come to pass, you know.
Right, no, I understand.
When he was at the crossroads several years ago there, regarding his, I don't think he used the word.
His marriage?
His marriage, you know, I just threw that out there as I thought, just as an example, but it turns out it came to pass. But you can't say something about someone and expect it for my next column for the next week to come to pass so I can, it's not like a TV series.
Yeah, no, I know. Understand.
But 10%, to be very conservative, 10% of what I predict comes to pass exactly as I see it in my mind's eye, just like a flash. So 10% of my predictions are 100% accurate. In this business, as in most industries in the world, you know, it's 90%, in my business, it's 10% inspiration, 90%...
Perspiration.
what's the other word I was thinking?
Well, if this 10%, is that a pretty high hit rate?
Sorry, 10% divine, 90% bovine.
Yeah, exactly. Well, 10%, is that good?
Well, if they're as I talk to you here about Putin and as I 9/11, these are the great world shakers that I have recorded over the years. And they're the ones I know that are 100% accurate. A lot of the other Hollywood stuff and so on, I'm never sure whether that's just in my imagination or whether they really are inspired divinely. What can I say? Any psychic. A mystic who claims to be 100% accurate is, you know, in, what do you call it, smoking those funny cigarettes or something, because no one is that accurate. No mystic, no psychic, no futurist, whatever. Even what's the term to use for remote viewing? When the government used to hire psychics.
Yeah, they had them. We've had many of them on the show, and you can't be 100% accurate. That's for sure.
Yeah, but all I can do. Is and sometimes I pick up images which could, because I've read for so many movie stars and world figures that they live on stage, like Mickey Rooney was a great little guy. I loved him. He was I read his palm and we
he
had a
was
great
fantastic
time. I looked at his palm and and we sat down and I said, Mr. Rooney, I said if you work very, very hard, I said. And I leaned into him, and I said, one of these days, I said, you're going to be very famous.
Was this way before he was famous?
No, Mark. Oh. Are you kidding? He's been famous since before I was born.
Yeah, you're not that old.
He was already a world figure, I thought it was quite, and he did too, caught him off guard.
Oh, okay, you were doing a little humor.
Yes. And he was great. He was nothing ostentatious about him. He had nothing to prove, nothing to, he was just the guy next door. He was a great guy.
Well, stay with us, Anthony. We've got some phone calls coming in. Plus, I'm going to ask you next hour some specific things about the world economy, about the U.S. Presidential elections in 2016. I want to get all your take on it. And, of course, we'll document it and see what happens. I'm George Norrie, back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM.